The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
No, it's not Gil Alexander. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. If I could say my own last name, this is a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Only two more times of that 4:30 a.m. alarm clock for your boy. Then we go back to me and Kelly never seeing each other because we were completely different schedules.
That's right. Yeah, it would be the once every 3 months, like, check-in. Hey, how are you?
Cashing out returns Sunday night. Fired up to be with y'all. Guide you through primetime football Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Get you ready for the weekend. We're betting the board. I'm already looking forward to October with baseball and the crossover with the postseason there.
One of the best sporting months of the year.
It's incredible.
And probably the best month for you. You consider October the best month?
It's October. I mean, early April's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong, yep.
So I think early April gets kind of thrown out because, one, you have Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
You have the NFL Draft.
Mm-hmm. Masters.
You have the Masters. You have baseball starting. And I'm missing one more.
NBA regular season stinks. Yeah.
The end of the regular season's horrible.
But hey, the playoffs get started.
Yeah, if the playoffs are starting, then
they start in April, right?
Yeah,
in April? If
we're going to say month, then April. It's April versus October.
That's pretty good.
You know what? That's the debate. At VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin. What is the sports month?
I always bring up January, too. I like January. You get to the close of the college football. You get the NFL playoffs started up. I get the golf season back.
Here's where I'm going to tell
my favorite month to bet NBA.
as someone who hosts the night show where there's live action plus there's football to get ready for with college football and the NFL, the reason I don't like it is there is college football, the NFL, where it matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, with the playoff, you also have NBA college basketball going on.
Yep,
hockey is in full swing. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to be totally locked in on all of those things.
Oh, those are January. Don't ask me what's going on in college basketball and hockey because I don't know.
Is that also where you could take advantage of the sports books because they also only have so much bandwidth?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I would think. Preseason begins tonight, though. Football's back, baby. We got the Hall of Fame game, and Dave Canales does not cover in the preseason. Two preseasons for the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. He is counted 0-6 against the spread. 1-5 straight up for Dave Canales here. And the Panthers are laying 1.5 against Arizona tonight. Just it's worth noting.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think the coaches, it's part of the reason why we went through the quarterback depth charts earlier, just of how do we approach betting preseason. I won't speak for you, Dustin, but absolutely. I think I think we make too much sometimes of the coaching records in the preseason against the spread, but the ones that are at the extremes are worth noting. Like Sean McVay does not care about the preseason. He's never going to care about the preseason. He doesn't care about it. You need to know the guys who do and the guys that do care about it and the guys that don't care about it. And they're going to push guys a little bit more. And then we brought it up earlier, but quarterback depth charts are a massive thing for me. Matt Eumanns always writes a great article on it every single year with his kind of top ones that he sees out there. But yeah, who's going to be out there playing quarterback that you trust in their talent, you trust in their experience against backups that are going to be out there on the defensive side of the ball for the other team.
You know, we have the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame ceremony this weekend, our guy Vinny Maliulo being inducted, which is awesome. I made the case that, you know, people wonder who should be in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. Why wouldn't John Harbaugh on his preseason run get him into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame?
Real man, Harbaugh,
42-21 against the spread, 42-21 against the spread all time as a head coach in the preseason. I feel like that is worthy of being in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame.
So, like, that's one of the outliers I'm talking about, right? And then why would you expect that to be, like, anything different this year, right?
No,
I mean, new situation. Fighting. You've got position battles on a team with a lot of positions up for grabs still. He needs to get a look at all these guys. I would think the Giants are very live.
I absolutely think so, because I like new coaches because they're usually installing new systems. They're trying to motivate these guys and push them and get them up to their level, right? The standard changes when a new coach comes in. So I think that's another element to look at, although Dave Canales, back-to-back preseasons, he's 0-6 against the spread. He can't lock in everything here. All right, we're going to look at the wins market in the National Football League because most wins, fewest wins. I don't know about you. I wrote down four teams for most, four for fewest that jumped out to me.
Fewest wins, always one of my favorite markets.
Can we start
in any sport? Yeah, of course. It's more fun.
Okay.
Right? Is it not more fun every year, every sport?
But I get burnt every year by betting one of the top two teams in this market. Okay? The number is the number because it's appropriate. And I lose every year on fewest wins, last winless team. I think the last 2 years, the team that I bet to be the last winless team has won in week one. Okay. So, and I'm not betting long shots.
Hey, guess what? The NFL is pretty tough when it comes to these types of things.
But for fewest wins, I got longer shots. I like, you got to convince me. How does Miami not have the worst record in the league?
Okay. So
they're plus 350. You got to explain this to me.
I can't really. Okay. I think they're the worst roster. Okay. Yes. Right now, let's combine. They're the worst roster. I might do something this year in this market. I've never done. Cause I usually don't go right to the top of the board. I'm usually looking a few down. Who do I think you could usually get a little bit better odds at, longer odds at this point in the off season? I don't really know. If you go to the window and bet the Cardinals and the Dolphins before the season, which is not sexy, I know, but like, it's not, how is it not going to be one of those two teams?
I don't know how.
Cardinals are a better team, but they're scheduled. The schedule, the division, it's brutal.
Yeah, that's the problem. But for Miami, hold on. They have the second hardest schedule.
Yep.
And they have the worst roster. If they don't beat the Raiders in week one, they're starting 0-5. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I'm viewing this. Also, they have a week six bye. So in a league where attrition and injuries just take their toll as the year goes on, a lot of teams use that late bye. You get healthier, you come out of it, and you can help push the rest of the way. This team is going to be ready to go week seven and on the rest of the way. I feel like that's asking a lot for them. I count maybe three wins on the schedule. Maybe the Jets, they can get them twice. The Raiders in week one, but there's a chance they lose all three of those.
Absolutely.
And then more importantly, who is Malik Willis throwing to? Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, a gadget player. Maybe Chris Bell out of Louisville pops, but he's coming off an injury. And then the defense, I don't trust this secondary. I like Chris Johnson, who they drafted out of San Diego State, but rookie corners, if there's no pass rush, they can't do anything. I don't see how you avoid Miami if you're betting in this market.
Yeah, I always like when we get to this point in training camp, right? We get, and everybody looks great, right? But there's always like the star for each team in camp. And it, you know, for other teams, it's like big names, right? That you're like, oh, okay, well, let's watch out for that star player. I love how much I've heard about Malik Washington shining in Dolphins camp so far. And you're like, huh?
Malik Washington, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, Cyrus Allen or Jones, whichever one's in Kansas City.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, Justin Ross. Yeah, all these training camp heroes. It doesn't usually work out. All right, the other team that I'm really considering near the top of the board, and they have an easy schedule, the Browns. The Browns have the easiest schedule in football. They're almost 11-1 to have the fewest wins. Quarterback carousel is the key, though.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly fluctuating these guys under center, in and out of the lineup, not getting into a rhythm. Also having to force Watson in and him having nothing left in the tank. And then if Shador struggles, going to Gabriel, back to Shador, because Gabriel would inevitably struggle. This team won 5 games with Myles Garrett. Jared Verse is good. He is not Myles Garrett. They could win 3 to 5 games. 5 feels like the max. 3 feels very likely here. I think this is a team you have. If I just bet Miami and I bet Cleveland, I'm happy with this market.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. That's the only other one I've got written down, Dustin. Okay. Who further down the board do I like? It's Browns. I already have a bet on under their win total, so of course I'm going to see it that way. If you've listened to Dustin and I the past couple days, we've talked about the Jets might be a little bit sneaky, sneaky good, we think. So
God, we're going to look stupid.
Yeah, the Browns would be the next and honestly only team at odds that are presented that I would consider.
Yeah, I thought about the Panthers 23-1, easier schedule though than I expected for a first place team from a year ago. But if they don't win at Atlanta week two and at Cleveland week three, I really only see like maybe 2 or 3 more wins on the schedule. And then Steelers 46-1. Schedule's middle of the road. It's Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy in 2026.
That's a good long shot. Yeah, I mean that could absolutely end up being a disaster.
Now how about the tougher one? Most wins, because you make a case for a lot of teams. Schedule matters, health matters, coaching matters, the bye week matters. There's a lot you have to factor in here. I have two that are longer that I like more than the two short ones that I like. So let me throw the two long ones at you. I'm going to go down on this sword, and it's either going to be spectacular or ugly, but the Bengals 16-1. I have never bought into Cincinnati Like, I'm buying into them this year. The only team in that division with continuity at head coach. Whether that's a good or bad thing with Sean Taylor, we will see. Their defense should be better. Allen exactly. comes in. Dexter Lawrence, Boye Mafe, Cassius Howell and Shamar Stewart, getting after the quarterback potentially. It's Burrow. You have four games against the Steelers and Browns, third easiest schedule. They're winning anywhere from 11 to 15 games in my eyes.
Yeah, second easiest by win total heading into the season is Cincinnati on the schedule. Look, this is a team that I'm not really interested in betting over win total or even in the division because I think the Ravens are good, but I think this is a team that you look for those high-end tail outcomes, and this is one of those markets that you bet on. If everybody stays healthy, and we haven't seen it very often, but if you're talking about Burrow and all those receivers being healthy, the ceiling is extremely high for this team. I think this is the type of market that you go and bet them in. This is one I had written down as well.
Okay, and then the other one that I really love, I don't care if they have the hardest schedule. I might take a shot in the Bears at 22-1. I think the schedule.
There you go, buddy.
The schedule is why it's 22-1. It's year two of Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams. Why shouldn't we anticipate them improving together?
Yep. No, I'm with you. Only other one I had written down is the Bills, but I don't love that at that. I don't love it at that number.
See, the one that I considered is the Lions as well.
Schedule's
yeah. easy, but they have flaws. Nick Sirianni, by the way, every other year, 9 wins to 14, 11 to 14, 11. 14, 15 wins.
Everybody loves to hate on that guy. He puts together a lot of winning seasons.
20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets, baby. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com and start betting smarter with them. The name says it all. Can the Falcons win the South? We'll discuss next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's VSiN, the sports betting network. You're locked into A Numbers Game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. Don't worry, Gil Alexander will return on Monday. But the story of today is football is here.
That's
the
right.
Hall of Fame game. We are back. And if we're going to just like talk about full transparency, I thought you called me out pretty well on yesterday's show when we were talking about the NFC South, where I basically said, I can't bet any of these teams to win the division. And you said, you kind of have to choose one.
No. It's just, you're just playing the game and you played it well of picking apart every team in the NFC South. And when I said, hey, I think the Falcons have some value in this division market at, 4-1, 5-1, where they're at, because I don't think all those other teams are that much better.
And I would say a lot of people at the network share your sentiment. So I figured we should go to Atlanta.
Yes.
We should get the perspective because there's been a lot of transition. In comes Kevin Stefanski, Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. A Falcons team last year that really made a lot of improvements on defense. Can the offense now catch up? But they're also dealing with some injuries on the other side of the football as well. To help us do that, we're going to go out to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in Ovi Mihaly, former NFL fullback, All-Pro. Ravens, Falcons, Rams, Believe in Falcons is the podcast. Check it out throughout the season as he used to clear the way for Michael the Burner Turner on the ground, now doing so on the podcast. And Ovi joins us now on the Progressive guest line. So talk to us, man. Thanks for doing this today. Early returns, year one of Kevin Stefanski. What have you noticed about how he's taken over this organization?
A lot more toughness, a lot more grit, not just talk. He's actually putting it into action. I love that. I've had a chance to meet Kevin Stefanski at least two or three times now in person. The last time yesterday we spoke, and I was asking, hey, I love the fact that you guys are already committing to play starters during preseason, it boggled my mind the last couple of coaches who were like, we're not playing our guys in the preseason. For Raheem to have such a short leash, you would think is one of his players to hit the ground running. And he wasn't like that. So they're hitting on pads. They're being physical. He's putting the starters in. I'm loving it. But he's a guy that at first I didn't quite know if he was going to be the right fit for us. I'm like, that coach of the year stuff is great, but what have you done for me lately is how most people live their lives. But from what I've heard from the players, and I have a couple of them who I know really well, and they're like, this guy is different. That coach of the year stuff wasn't a mistake. It wasn't because they couldn't find somebody else. Like, he knows how to organize and motivate men to do their best. So I'm really excited about up top how the guy's thinking about helping us win.
That's great to hear about Stefanski. We've been wondering, right?
Well, like, everyone here loves Stefanski. Everyone's a big like believer that he can get this going in the right direction. And if he knows where his bread's buttered, Ovi, and you know about it with running backs, Bijan Robinson, guy gets his new deal. You've been around a lot of great ones. What do you see in Bijan that makes him so special?
Oh, everything. I was with them. Oh, it was such a treat, man. We had all the running backs out. It was alumni day out. And you had everyone from Gerald Riggs to Michael Turner to myself and Jairus Norwood. And we all were in the running back huddle to break it down. And it was like the old, the new, the very old. They said a little prayer. We broke it down. And Bijan's like, man, thank you. Looked us all in the eyes. Like, thank y'all for laying the table, building the foundation, and really making it special for what it means to be a Falcon. I was like, this man is good. This guy is good. Not only is he just like an amazing athlete, he's phenomenal on the field, but everyone talks about how great of a person he is. And I think that really does play a part in how people work around him. He's a guy who makes everyone around him better. He's a guy that you know you could trust. He's a guy who's going to put in the work before the game starts. And when you see him doing it, guys are like, I should probably watch more film too. I should probably catch more balls too. I should probably do some more sprints as well. Like those glue guys, they matter. I've been on teams that have been good, bad. The culture is there. It's not there. When you have guys like Bijan, the more guys like Bijan you have, the better chance you have of doing well.
Yeah, Ovi, obviously one of the big topics here for the offseason has been the quarterback situation there in Atlanta. And I think for guys like Dustin and I who might be arguing about how good can this team be, now that's going to be critical. We know how critical the quarterback position is. How do you expect this to play out here, you know, early in the season and as the season progresses?
Well, if you guys listen to my podcast, Believe in Falcons, with me and Mike Turner, we've gone back and forth about it because – a lot of it has to do with, of course, the health of our quarterbacks. And if you go strictly on just what you've seen, because it's a what have you done for me lately league, Tua has the edge because he's played longer, because he's had a higher ceiling, because he's been in more situations, because he has more completions, touchdowns. You go across the board, Tua has the edge. And plus, I thought that Michael Penix was not going to be healthy enough to even make it a real competition. But being at practice, I was surprised. I got to say that I was wrong. Like, Penix is moving around good. Now, they were hitting, but you can't hit the quarterback. So there's not a real test of, oh, he's back. And he's saying all the right things. And I'd say it if I was him as well. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I'm on schedule. Whether that's the case or not, no player in the history of player that was ever said, I think I'm hurt. Right. I'm not going to make it. I won't be available. So, I mean, kudos to Mike Penix. He was doing an interview with the 99 The Game guys when we finished, and I saw him, dapped him up, told him best of luck and stay healthy. Like Bijan, just an amazing human being, somebody who you on the outside seems to be more mild-mannered, you know, kind of soft-spoken. He's not a Cam Newton where he's out there tearing across his chest, but when he talked to his teammates, they all say Penix has that fire in him to where he wants to win so bad. Will do anything he can to make it happen. So I'm rooting for the kid. You know, obviously I know him more than Tua. I hope he gets healthy and shows everybody, I'm always for the underdog, that all those injuries, all the speculation, all the haters, he can prove them all wrong by coming out and being the franchise quarterback we've always wanted.
Ovi Mihaly getting me fired up for football right now. Great conversation. Believe in Falcons is the podcast. Where are you at with this Falcons defense? Because major strides a year ago, finally had a pass rush, finally had a really good young secondary, but Jalen Walker goes down with the ACL. James Pierce, it feels like, is probably going to be suspended for a good chunk of the season. How does this defense recover?
Two letters, double D, Divine Diablo. If he is everything Caden Ellis was and more, we'll be okay, because I like Avion Terrell. Actually, I saw him in practice, got more physical than I thought he'd be. You know, I thought that he's a smaller guy. I feel like he's a little bit smaller than his brother. He wouldn't be the physical cornerback that his brother was. And he was up in there breaking up screens and getting up in there. I was like, okay, if he can cover like he can and he can, you know, bow up his neck and stick his nose in there, I like that. I am concerned that we don't have Jalen. I hope that we don't know the exact numbers yet for James Pierce, but when we get him back, it's going to be, if he can build on what he did last year, I'll take him for six games, five games, how many games we can have him. But I believe in Jeff Ulbrich. Like, he's a guy who took us from bottom to top when it comes to pass rushing, using just four guys, not even needing to blitz a fifth or sixth guy. Jeff Ulbrich is just going to build on what he did last year. So I do have my concerns, but I'm not in panic mode yet about our defense. We'll bring it together and get Devon Diablo, that guy, before Caden Ellis came, he was a beast, better than Caden Ellis. So if he's healthy, he can be a really strong center for our defense.
All right, Ovi, so help Dustin and I settle the debate for the past couple of days. Where does this Falcons team stack in the NFC South for you? And who's your biggest concern in the South?
Same as it was last year. It's the Bucs and Baker Mayfield. I mean, not only the him and Stefanski have a nice little rivalry, but I feel like Baker is playing a little teed off, and that's going to make them a great team. I have not, and it's bad for me to say because you are what your record says you are, but I don't believe the Panthers are a threat to us. I'm just not scared by the Panthers. Last year, I feel like it was a fluke twice. Yeah. A 40-0 fluke. It's a one heck of a fluke, but it was a fluke because we're better than the Panthers on paper and in real life. But the Saints is a joke. Those Bucks. So I feel like if we can beat the Bucks, we'll be number one. That's a big if. And I'm saying if/when our quarterbacks stay healthy, we'll win the division.
I'm 100% on board. And I also think if it's Penix, I like the Falcons a lot. I think if Penix is healthy, the way he can throw the football. Ovi, dude, that was awesome. Thank you for doing this. Everyone check out Believe in Falcons. Him and Michael Turner. That's got to be the craziest, like, marquee combo for two former pro players for one team.
Two-time
on one podcast.
All-pro fullback, two-time all-pro tailback, best fullback running back duo in Falcons history. I mean, why wouldn't you listen?
And you know what? And then you should remind him that he gets a lot of credit for the work that you did to clear the way, okay? You should remind him all the time on the podcast. Ovi, that was awesome, man. Great stuff from Ovi Mahaley, breaking down the Falcons, the NFC South. He got me a little fired up. I really enjoyed that. He went to Wake. You want to read about Wake Forest? Well, the college football betting guide is out right now at VSiN.com. Get it, VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for as little as $9.99. Heisman breakdowns, best bets, top 50, power ratings, all the betting systems that you could possibly need to get ready for the season. Start for $9.99. Get a full year, save 50% with a Visa Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. The Hall of Fame game, it is tonight. How should we bet it? That's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander. August the 6th be with you on a Thursday. Football is back. You can smell it in the air. Maybe that's just Kelly Bidlin that I'm getting a whiff of right now. How are we feeling today?
I'm okay today.
Are you a Cologne guy?
No, but not like every day.
I'm a Cologne guy every day.
Every day?
See, you're skinny now, so you don't worry about this. I have a fear
like you put some on before you come in here?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I don't usually do that.
I also have very strong deodorant that smells very good as well. And sometimes I mix in an aftershave that's really strong. I have this thing where
you'll go aftershave and cologne?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
As a fat guy, I think the assumption by most people is that I smell bad or that fat people smell bad. So I like to dispel the myth by going over the top. Now, I probably use too much cologne. I'm one of those people.
No, you're okay. It's not insulting my senses.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
Today it's a little Tom Ford. Usually it's Valentino. Occasionally it's a little Polo Blue. I'm a little bougie with the cologne.
Yeah, I got a Polo Blue at home.
Polo Blue is such a good go-to.
I think it's Polo Blue,
Polo Black. I've never done the Polo Red. Red's not really my thing. Again, big guy. I look like Clifford the Big Red Dog if I wear red. See, you're skinny now. You don't have to worry about these misconceptions people.
Have I ever seen Polo Red?
It's a red one. Yeah. You know what it is? Any cologne that came out like after I was in high school, it's not really on my radar.
My go-to
is a cologne I got when I was 12 years old, Hugo Boss.
Yeah, I've got that at home too.
Now, as a Jewish person, it's problematic to put Hugo Boss. I'm just going to Point that out there.
Hugo Boss, the one or something like that.
I do the regular Hugo Boss, but it's my favorite cologne. It's a scent that takes me back in time. And
the only two I have at home right now, you just named. Hugo Boss and Polo Blue.
Oh, wow. So we're pretty similar there.
Those are the only two.
Occasionally.
I don't need a bunch, man. You know, bottles of cologne are like so many other items in your house where you're like, do you know how long it's going to take me to go through this entire bottle?
But I have two problems. One, the TikTok shop, and then another one I'm going to bring up with buying random stuff. TikTok shop will pop up with like Hollister from when we were in high school or Abercrombie Fierce from when we were in high school, and it takes me back.
Yeah.
I will buy it just to spray it for nostalgia.
How's TikTok shop?
On TikTok, they sell things.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's the other thing I'm going to admit that I really hope my fiance is not watching. And she knows some of it.
I hope she is. No.
There are these sports memorabilia auction websites, and I'm addicted to just like popping in and being like, that shouldn't be that cheap. Let me buy it.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. Package showed up to the house about a week ago, and it was a Lawrence Taylor framed jersey in a display with pictures and everything. That's fine.
Yeah, you were excited about that.
I got it all in all with all the fees, like $180.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good deal. The problem is what also came with it. Two things that I actually had no care about, but I wanted to see, like, hey, if it's $12, $30, I have a Kenny Pickett signed football.
Okay, that's funny.
That was like $30.
That's really funny.
And I have a Connor McGovern Buffalo Bills Go Bills written on it signed football I got for $13. I'm bringing it up because it was just like, oh, it's $13. Why not get it? And I can just put it in my display behind me. I want to sign football. It's kind of cool. I have no connection to either of those teams. I don't know why I have them. And I have not explained it to my fiance why they're currently sitting on my bookshelf.
The other part of this is funny to me. Is like, okay, I'm okay. I am not going to judge you at all. The auctions, I love that stuff too. I just can't imagine me ever bidding on something where I'd be like either of those players. Sorry, and even McGovern's really good, but those aren't exactly appreciating in value over time.
Like, no. I mean, it was more just like I'm trying to get my setup done at my new house when I'm going to do more hits during the day because I'm on the night show, so I can be more available. And I want a couple signed balls. Like I have a signed Tony Kukoc basketball from the Bills.
He was one of those dudes.
Yes, but right? Like Kenny Pickett.
I ordered it
on purpose.
He ordered that on purpose.
There was like 5 minutes left in the auction. It was going for, I think, probably $27. I said, I'll bid $30 on that, thinking someone will come over the top. Nope, Kenny Pickett. No one wanted to spend more than $30 on your signature.
Hey, nothing ties a room together better than a signed Kenny Pickett football. Everybody knows that.
I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. You can have one of those footballs. If you can send me a tweet or you can email cashingout@vsin.com. Why you really want either the Kenny Pickett or the Connor McGovern. I'm going to keep one of them. But whoever gives me the best case, you'll give me your info. I will pay for the shipping. I will ship you the football as a listener of VC. But you got to tell me a story. Why the team matters to you. Why the player matters to you. Why you want it. Because clearly I have no use for it.
And then I think they need to like and subscribe to the Cashing Out podcast.
Oh, I assume they're doing that already would be my
thing. Whenever that comes back. Is it still a podcast out there? It's probably still a podcast.
I don't think we have a podcast.
Okay.
I think we're just part of Best Bets.
Okay.
Which is available wherever you get your podcast.
There
Cashing
you
Out is returning, though. It is this Sunday, August 9th. We are on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. Then Monday through Thursday, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time. It's Cashing Out. It's me. It's that S-W-E-D-E. That's what I used to say back in the day.
I like that.
I brought up Kenny Pickett because Kenny Pickett's about to start a game tonight in football.
He is.
Hall of Fame game. Carson Beck, Kenny Pickett. That is the matchup we all came to see.
Absolutely. Jordan Smith not going to get first round leader for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Missed a lot of birdie putts. Under par.
I always know Kelly's sweating something because in between me speaking, instead of looking at the camera, he's looking at the golf and like there's a look of concern on his face.
It's right down in that corner. Yeah, if I'm looking over that way.
So
sorry, Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game.
Yep, cut you off.
Technically, it'll end up being Carson Beck versus Haynes King at some point, which last year in the ACC would be a tremendous matchup. However, it's the NFL. Carolina's -1.5. Total's 35.5. Dave Canales, or we're seeing ones out there.
No,
right?
It is. This is, I can't believe how much this has moved in an hour and a half. We are a lot of ones. A lot of ones, couple pick'ems, couple pick one and a half, but this total continues to go down. There is not a 35 and a half on my odd screen anymore.
No.
There's only a couple 35s, and there are a lot of 34 and a halfs and 134 that I'm staring at right behind us at Circa.
Well, I think it's going to keep moving because it does feel like the preseason is more of a copycat betting strategy where people try to chase onto the steam. At some point, it's going to get to, I feel like this probably closes, what, 33? 33 and a half?
I don't know. It's already so low. Like, this is, and I mean, it is what, moved 35 and a half to 34, though, in the past 18 hours? Yeah, maybe, Dustin. I'm never as certain with stuff like this where I'm like, the guy at home rushing home to bet football, to watch football for the first time this season, is rushing to put an underbet in. Like, no, this is all, like, sharp money, right?
But at the same time, I do feel like there's a sect of people that are waiting to see how the market reacts. They're going, hold on, this thing's already moved down. I want to jump on it moving down and go under. And then people are going to say, hold on, well, the steam's moving that way. I'm just going to keep going under. It's the preseason.
Right.
And the basic thought process is under when we think about the preseason here. I am on a little parlay I cooked up earlier. I told you guys it pays 4-1. We're going with the first half over 17 and a half, the full game under 35. It's 4-1. I think if we get scoring, it's early by motivated teams trying to show what they have, because you have a guy in Carson Beck fighting to take Jacoby Brissett's job at some point. Kenny Pickett wants to be on this roster, wants to be a guy who gets a chance if Bryce Young struggles during the year. Dave Canales, by the way, 0-6 against the spread as a head coach in the NFL preseason. And over at VSiN.com, Steve Mackinnon, our trends guru with all the data, he said this at 36 and a half where it opened was the highest posted total since 2012. It's now down to 34 and a half. So, Circa just went to 34. Circa just went to 34, Kelly, as I was speaking.
It was 34 when I said it a minute ago.
I wasn't listening. So in my eyes, it was 34 when I just saw it flash on my screen, okay? Underdog 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread in the Hall of Fame game going back to 2013. The over's on a 4-0 run, but that's after it went 7-2 to the under the previous 9 seasons. And if this line flips, if Arizona winds up being favored, thought this was worth bringing up, the team who the line has moved to as the favorite is only 2-5-1 against the spread in the Hall of Fame game since 2015. So that is worth noting here.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that would be a be careful where the steam is pushing these.
And totals 34 or higher, the under 6-1. Maybe here's what happened. Maybe all these people betting on it read Steve Mackinnon's article at VSiN.com, and that's why now we're getting a lot of under money.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be.
How about this quote from Carson Beck? Asked if he was nervous before his first NFL start, quote, "I don't think so. I think the last time I was nervous was when I was 8 years old, maybe. It's a game at the end of the day. I have the opportunity to go out there and have fun and play the game that I love." I respect that confidence for a guy like Carson Beck.
I mean, right? Wow. For the different positions he was put in throughout his collegiate career to never once have been nervous during any of that. Okay.
Well, I think, you know, off the field,
that's some confidence,
he went through a messy breakup last year. I think if someone ridicules you in social media publicly after like a breakup, I feel like nothing should really get to you after that.
Those girls still wrestling?
They were wrestling. They're basketball players.
Basketball players. Yeah. No, but didn't they go? Didn't they start?
They might have done WWE or something. I think every influencer just makes that shift at some point because it's a good little paycheck, and then you pop back to doing what you're.
So that
doing.
Wasn't like I thought that was like a full time thing they were doing.
I'm not doing a bit. The one the Cavender twin who's dating Jake Ferguson, the tight end for the Cowboys.
I didn't know that.
He has a hilarious channel where she makes him sandwiches and he rates them and he hates every sandwich she makes, even though they all look pretty good.
Okay, that's fantastic.
It's a funny bit.
That's a good idea.
It's a funny bit. The Indiana Hoosiers are defending national champions. Matt Humans wrote up an article in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide examining why people don't trust them to get back to the promised land. We'll look at the Hoosiers in the Big Ten next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander today, tomorrow, then cashing out returns on Sunday. I go back to night times here. 99 Toodaloo. Have you seen that clip? You're not like me. You don't doom scroll on like TikTok and Instagram. You don't.
No, never. I don't do TikTok at all.
Don't. Please don't. It's. I mean,
this is all I ever hear.
It's my brain on crack.
And then this is me being a real old man, right? But like, you know, when Instagram started, I was like, what's the big difference between this and Facebook? Like, it's just Facebook with no writing. And then you're like, okay, get it. But then like TikTok comes out, it's the same thing. I'm like, what's the difference between this and Instagram? Just people with reels.
I mean, there are people on Instagram who don't know there's Instagram. They only know reels.
Right.
And then there's people who only use it as Instagram, probably mm-hmm. like our age, who don't even look at the reels.
I was also thinking about this the other day.
I don't look at reels because I'm on TikTok, because if I wanted to see the reels, I just go on TikTok where they appear about 14 days earlier.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that part of it. I understand. I was thinking about this the other day, though. Like, how crazy is it just to think back now of how quickly Facebook, like, just its audience, right? Like, its consumer age, how quickly that was such a cool, hip thing, and then, like, 20 years later, now, different.
I need a solo shot for this messaging. This is the most important thing I've ever said on this network, and I've probably said it before because I repeat jokes, but I work with a different co-host every week now, so I get to kind of use them over and over again. Let me be very clear. The decline of civilization and this United States of America began because of Facebook, not the creation of Facebook. Facebook at the beginning, when you had to have a .edu college email to join the website, mm-hmm. it was the best thing to ever happen. Then they eventually incorporated pictures and all these other elements that connected people on a different scale. But the decline of civilization started when we opened Facebook up to anyone. If you just had a Yahoo, an MSN, a Hotmail, a Gmail, you had any email, you had access to Facebook. That is when everything started falling apart in the world. Misinformation, people posting things that aren't true, people thinking that they have the right to comment on everything that possibly happens, like they're an expert on everything, and it is cross-pollinated into all aspects of life. Facebook's created the decline of our world when they let our parents join the internet. The people who raised us, we unfortunately found out, cannot decipher what is real or fake on the internet, yet they've somehow kept us alive all these years.
It's well said.
That is my most passionate belief in the world.
You know what, though? Shout out to Facebook that pretty much to this day still helps me keep track of people's birthdays.
It's the only reason I know people's
birthdays. It's the only reason I still have it on my phone.
There's two ways. I know people's birthdays because, one, Facebook tells me. Two,
you're a good person.
My sister will text me that it's one of my nieces or nephew's birthdays.
Oh my God. See, like that. No, I'm so jealous. My brother and sister never helped me out with that stuff.
No, my sister will go, and it's not her kids. It's my brother's kids.
Right. Yeah. That's why they should do it.
And then my mom jumps in to remind me that it's my sister's kids.
Yeah, right. That's how it should work.
At some point, I should probably write this down.
If I don't get any help, those kids don't get anything unless my mom will help me. She's the only one. Nobody else.
Yeah, but I'll charge myself a late fee if I miss it. I'll go, I missed your birthday. It's an extra $50 on the
gift. Okay, so me too, but also like, and I'm sure you're the same way. Guess what? I always get to be the fun uncle. So yes. Whenever I see any of them, I'm also the jerk who comes with like over the top gifts for all the kids.
Well, because it's like your absentee.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know what's absentee right now? Apparently the bets on the Indiana Hoosiers to win the national title. I like that transition.
That was well done.
VSiN College Football Betting Guide, Matt Eumanns with a great article. The Hoosiers frames the conversation. They're the defending national champs. No one is running to the window to bet them to go back-to-back. It's pretty wild when you think about college football year in and year out. And in this new era we live in with the transfer portal, with paying players, Indiana has become the most dominant force in the sport. But for some reason, people don't want to bet on them. Ohio State's the favorite, 6-1. Notre Dame, 6.5-1. Texas is 7.5-1. And then Kurt Cignetti being doubted is a dangerous proposition. The Hoosiers are 8-1. He has quotes from several sports books. Matt Grill at DK, DraftKings. Nobody is betting Indiana. Mike Palm here at Circa says their liabilities, Notre Dame and Oregon.
Yeah.
Nick Bogdanovich over at Boomers. The public's on Notre Dame, moving them from 8-1 to 6-1 at their shop. You want to read the article. I think it's very well done by Matt. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. The Indiana thing is really, really difficult to decipher for me because I have been on Indiana's win total back-to-back years. Okay? The Hoosiers.
Over?
Over. Yeah. I believed in them with Curtis Rourke. Okay. I believe Kurt Cignetti when he showed up and said, Google me. Because you go back and look, he's done nothing but win everywhere he goes. And that's just a fact. It's just a fact. And it's that he understands how to motivate. He understands how to put together a team. He doesn't need five stars. He doesn't need the best of the best because he's going to coach him up. Also, this staff has been intact for like a decade now. His OC's back. His DC returned to won the Broyles Award for the best coordinator in the country. Okay? That's Brian Haynes. His offense has a new quarterback in Josh Hoover who has a ton of experience. 9,000 yards, 71 touchdowns, has an issue with turnovers, but he's got weapons to throw to. Charlie Becker was amazing in the playoff for them. Michigan State's top receiver, Nick Marsh, transfers in. The running back position, they have to find new guys because both those dudes are off to the NFL. But Kobe Martin averaged 6.5 yards per carry a year ago. O-line is intact. And in fact, they had a kid from Wisconsin and Joe Brunner is probably going to be all Big Ten. Carter Smith was all Big Ten a year ago. He's back at tackle. Their guard, Drew Evans, has started 20 games over a couple of seasons. And then the defense. Number two in scoring, second most sacks. They also got eligibility for a guy who's a huge part of the front for them. He's been deemed eligible. That was about 48 hours ago. And then the transfers. Edges from Kansas State, an edge from Notre Dame, a corner from Penn State. But more importantly, the schedule here. No Oregon, no Penn State. They host Ohio State, and they host USC. This is very manageable for Indiana to do it again, Kelly. I don't really understand why everyone's doubting them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's doubting them as much as like they don't believe they're not a playoff team.
So can I give the basic average Joe, I think, answer to that question?
They lost a lot.
It's how many people are saying no Fernando Mendoza, no all these weapons that we got to learn about last year. They're all gone. There's no way an Indiana program can do this again.
Well, stop thinking of Indiana like it's the old Indiana.
Yeah.
Because it's not the old Indiana. They're the people.
But don't you think that's probably there's a lot of that thought going on?
No, there is. But everyone's losing everyone every year. If your team's any good, everyone's gone. If your team stinks, you're returning a lot of those players. That's usually how it goes, unless you're an Oregon and you're just paying to keep a defensive lineman from going to the draft, right? You're saying, well, you're a second rounder now, and stay and become a first rounder. Yeah, or Dante. Well, I think that's more Dante Moore doesn't want to be a Jet. I think that's more that was. But
you could be the second overall pick. Maybe you'll be the first overall pick.
Stephen Daly being deemed eligible fifth year. I mean, that is so huge for this defense because he is an impact guy. He had 19 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks a year ago. He wasn't even there for the college football playoff run because he had an injury in the Big Ten title game. All of a sudden, you inject that back into this defense. I'm not someone who's betting them right now to win the title. And I think it's something I'm going to regret down the road. I am more in line with the thinking of everyone else here. They're a playoff team. Just pencil it in every year. Indiana is a playoff team. Stop thinking about it like this isn't USC. No, this is the new USC. This is Pete Carroll. This is Reggie Bush. I know it doesn't feel that way because it's a different world that we live in. But the Indiana Hoosiers are so coached up, they don't make mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing. I had Brooks Austin on last week when I was on Follow the Money. He watches more film than anyone, the Film Guy Network on YouTube. And when we asked him about what he sees in Indiana, he said, guys, I watch a lot of film. I can usually decipher what makes a team special. When a team is this good, what they do. And he's like, I can't pinpoint one thing. It is just they don't make mistakes. They execute everything they do. I think the biggest thing for me, Indiana shows up and they're not worried about what their opponent wants to do. And there's just something so tough about that to me as an athlete where we get so concerned. Well, they're so good at stopping the run. What if they take away your running back?
Right.
Oh, they're so great at getting after the passer. What if they eliminate your ability to drop back and stand tall and make the throws? Indiana's like, I don't care what the other team's going to do. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to dictate our will. You're going to have to play our style of fight. And that's why I don't think they should be doubted at 8.5-1. If we're talking about coaches, we're talking about programs that I believe in. I believe in Cignetti more than Sarkisian. I believe in Cignetti more than Ryan Day. Do I believe in Cignetti more than Marcus Freeman? That's a tough one, but I have to say Cignetti. He's got the substance behind it.
Power rank the top three in the Big Ten for me. Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. First of all, do you believe it's those three?
Yes.
Okay.
It is those three.
Which order do you go?
I go number three for me is Ohio State.
Ooh, okay.
Sonny Styles, Arvel Reese, Caleb Downs, all gone.
Yep.
I also don't really buy Arthur Smith as this brilliant offensive mind coming in at OC to replace Brian Hartline. I go Indiana 2. It's just a lot of new, but I trust Cignetti. Number one's Oregon. They got the quarterback back. They got the defense back.
It's huge,
weapons
man.
Are healthy.
Yeah.
And Dan Lanning has gotten knocked off by the national champion each of the last 2 years. I think it's the Ducks' turn to hoist the trophy when all is said and done. When we come back, the SEC, Georgia, Texas. How does Kirby Smart deliver this year?